mind goes crazy, so I can't do it. Which is exactly the same as a very unfit person who's just out of hospital after a really long illness saying, I went to the gym, and as soon as I got onto the equipment, what I realised was that I'm not strong and that I'm really weak. It's like, well, you know, you just haven't had much exercise lately. Of course you're weak. Okay? So it's natural that if you haven't done much meditation practice or you don't have strong tranquility practices, that as soon as you sit down to meditate, the first thing you will notice is the agitation that's present in your mind. So actually that's not wrong. What that is seeing things as they really are. And so I had one lady, we had a day-long retreat on Sunday this week where we meditated from 7 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. And she said, well, I can't really say that I meditated for 11 hours, but there was a half-hour period where I got really deep and tranquil. So I did meditate for half an hour, and I thought, aha, here's the problem. That half an hour is the result. The other 10 and a half hours were the meditation. They were the exercise that produced that result. So a lot of us think that meditation is the result we're trying to get. And so when we sit down and we don't instantly, immediately get the result, we feel like we can't do it. But actually what we need to do is the exercises that will eventually produce the result. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Great. So some of those exercises we do sitting on a mat cross-legged or sitting in a chair like this. But some of those exercises can be done waiting for the bus, standing in a queue at the post office, all of these kinds of things. So anywhere, you can do it just 2 minutes here, 2 minutes there, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and it's cumulative. So the very first practice that the Buddha taught was wise reflection, as opposed to unwise reflection, because the kind of stuff we're thinking leads directly as a cause and condition for happiness or to suffering. So one of the biggest causes for unhappiness, depression and anger is complaining a lot. Welcome, Travis. Complaining is a cause of discontent, anger, depression, all those kinds of things. Blaming an external agency. It's the government's fault. It's my neighbour's fault. It's my mother's fault. It's my parents' fault. You know, that kind of thing. When you blame an external agency, immediately you give away your own power. Now, it's true that those external agencies may well be doing really annoying things. That may well be true. However, it is the nature of the world that there will be always, always some external agency doing something you don't agree with. That is the nature of reality. If we constantly put our mind on that, then we're going to be unhappy, discontented, angry. If we put our mind on, I'll come to that next, then the next thing is, so if we complain a lot and we blame others and we don't take responsibility for our own part in our suffering, I can't do anything, I can't help it, it's not my fault. This is a cause for continuing to make the same mistakes over and over again. So that pattern of behaviour, when taken to excess, results in violence, it results in mental illness, it results in all the horrible things going on in the world. So what's the opposite to that? So rather than complaining, welcome. Rather than complaining, if we have gratitude for what we do have, if we notice what the government did right. By the way, the government actually does do some things right, you know. We have these lovely roads, we have lovely hospitals, we have law and order. We don't actually have people rampaging down the street shooting people. We don't have kids walking into our schools shooting everyone. And that was an initiative of our government. They surely got that right. And I'm sure you're not unaware of what's going on in certain other countries with school kids not being safe at school. But our kids are safe at school. Well, you know, relatively. Sure, there's probably some bullying going on and name-calling and all that kind of stuff, but nobody's going into our schools with an assault rifle. So if we can occasionally look at what the government gets right, what our parents got right, what our partners got right, and hardest of all, what we got right, hey, no, I just got that right. And rejoice in that. Allow those, looking at those things that the external agents and internal agents got right, be a cause of rejoicing. I'm so glad that our schools are safe. I am so glad that we have a public service that actually delivers services. I am so glad that we have the transport, that we have reasonably safe roads. Oh, grumble, grumble, there's all these roadworks. Oh, well, you know, if you want roads that are repaired and upgraded, you're going to have roadworks. So what about, I'm really glad that there's all these roadworks maintaining our road infrastructure and providing jobs. See how that just shifts everything? Just the way you think about it, the way you frame it. These are causes and conditions for happiness, for contentment, for gladness, for rejoicing. So when I take responsibility for how I look at the world, so apparently according to genetics and evolution, our minds are wired to notice the negative 10 times more intensely than noticing the positive. Because, you know, in the jungle, on the plains of Africa, that kept us safe to notice the tiger or the lion and to remember which plants were poisonous. That kept us safe in evolutionary terms over the 7 million years that humans have been in existence. But right now, actually, we're in a different context, yeah? So we need to, in fact, to notice a good thing, we need to have had 10 to 20 good things happen for every one bad thing to actually notice it at all, if we're just allowing it to be random. But in fact, there are probably 100 good things that each of us has done for every one mistake we've made. There was 100 times that we got it right for each one time that we made a mistake. Oh no, I only got 80% on my test. Hang on a minute. Hooray, I got 80% on my test. You know? Maybe it's not as good as you wanted, but it's still pretty darn good. Oh, certainly getting 14% is a cause for reconsidering how we approach that subject. Getting 14% on a test is not a cause for going, I'm worthless, I'm useless, I'm no good. That's a cause for saying, is this the right course of study for me? Have I been approaching it correctly? What's going on, you know, with the relationship between me and my teachers? Like, looking at carefully. But we like to beat ourselves up, you know. So, causes and conditions. So when we sit to meditate, some of the exercises I teach here are the mindfulness that allows us to see what is really going on. And the idea of mindfulness is to get underneath the narrative and just see the data. And if narrative is what's happening, blah, 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 then to step out of the content of that narrative, okay, what is happening now is thinking. So I'm now being mindful of thinking. So say what I'll do in more very shortly is I'll do a guided meditation, which will start us with being mindful of the body. Mindfulness of the body, because the body's always present, every sensation of the body is right now. We don't necessarily notice sensation that happened last week or think about a sensation that's going to happen next week. So the sensations that are happening in the body now, how my body feels now. And that grounds us in the present moment, and we attempt to relax a bit. So we do some relaxing. And then, depending on the day, because I do it differently every time, sometimes I might take us into loving kindness, which is just a training to intentionally put our mind onto a really wholesome, beautiful topic. And by constantly training the mind to think of something beautiful, then it brightens the mind, it makes the mind happier, and it makes us happier kind of people. Sometimes I'll do open awareness where we're just being aware of whatever's happening. I think that was what I did last week, wasn't it? Yeah. So last week we did open awareness, so this week I'll probably do loving kindness. And with open awareness, it's like, it's okay, whatever's happening. And open awareness is a good one to do on your own at home. So we start by relaxing the body, and then we allow ourselves to be aware of whatever's happening. So if thinking is happening, then we're aware of the thinking. Ah, this is thinking. And that thinking is, and then we start labelling it and categorising the thinking like a scientist would, yeah? So, oh, that thinking's remembering, that thinking's planning, that thinking is generosity, that thinking is kindness. Oh, I'm thinking about, you know, maybe I'm thinking about planning my mum's birthday party. So that's planning, and it's generosity, and it's kind. Right? And then I might notice, while I'm doing all this, I might notice, oh, when I'm planning my mum's birthday party, just for example, I feel really happy. Yeah, look, there's a pleasant feeling associated with that. When I'm remembering something I got wrong, ooh, there's a pretty strong, unpleasant feeling associated with that, you know. And so I just notice those relationships between the thinking and the feelings. Oh, that's pleasant, that's unpleasant. Just build up a database of data points of what's actually happening in my own heart and mind and the connections between it. As you build up that data over time, then you can start to work with that stuff skillfully, which will be topics of further classes. So, it's now 1:15. Do I have any questions? Okay. Well, we will now do a guided meditation from 1:15 to 1:45. At 1:45, I will ring my little Burmese bell and give a couple of moments for you to sort of come back. And then we have 15 minutes to ask questions or give feedback or make comments or all that kind of thing. There is something planned in here at 2:30, so we can run a little bit over time, but not too much over time. Okay. So if you'd like to make yourself comfortable, and some people are happy to close their eyes while they meditate, and other people prefer to just look down at something that neutral, like the placemat or something. So whatever works for you, you can have your eyes open or closed as suits you best. So wriggling your body if it needs a bit more comfort. Closing your eyes or relaxing your eyes and bringing your attention to your body. With an attitude of kindness to this body. And with a kind and gentle attention paying attention to the top of the head, being aware of the sensations in the top of your head, and inviting the muscles in your head and your scalp, inviting them to relax if they'd like to. Feeling appreciation and gratitude for the head. I'm so glad I have a nice thick skull to protect my brains. I'm so glad I've got some brains that work and function. I'm glad that I have skin. Inviting the forehead to relax. It's okay, forehead. You can relax. Allowing the forehead to relax. Allowing the eyes to relax. With kind appreciation for the eyes, I feel so glad that I have eyes that can see. My life is so much easier because my eyes can see. Inviting the temples to relax, and the cheeks, allowing the mouth to relax. I'm so glad that I have a nose that can smell and breathe, sinuses to filter the air, teeth and tongue to chew my food and eat, to taste my food and speak. Relaxing the jaw. At the corner where sometimes we keep so much tension in the hinge of our jaw. Relaxing the back of the neck where it joins the skull. Feeling appreciation for the neck, holding that great weight of a head. The head's really heavy and the neck does so much work every day. Holding our head up. And holding it as we bend over books and papers and computers and phones. Feeling appreciation and gratitude for the neck and allowing it to relax. Relaxing the shoulders where it joins the neck, that little pocket there. Let that pocket let go of all the computer and gadget that's been holding in there. Allowing any pressure or tension or responsibilities just to slide off our shoulders. Allowing our shoulders to relax. Because right now, just for this time, we don't need to carry any burdens. We can pick them up again later, if we want to. Allowing the shoulders to relax. If thinking arises, that's okay. Just be aware of it and come back to the body. If you hear sounds, well, hearing is all that's happening. That's okay. Come back to relaxing the back. Allowing the shoulder blades to relax. Those muscles down between the shoulder blades and the backbone, allowing those to relax. Relaxing the middle of the back. I feel so much appreciation for my backbone. Really allowing the bones to do the holding up. The muscles can just hang from the skeleton like clothes from a hanger. Feeling appreciation for the whole torso, allowing the chest to relax, allowing the belly to relax, sending some kindness to the lungs. Thank you, lungs, for breathing every day in and out. Thank you, liver, for doing all that amazing chemical stuff that you do. Thank you to the stomach and the intestines for turning my food into the building blocks of life that my body needs. Thank you to the kidneys, constantly filtering my blood every day, every moment of every day. Thank you to my bladder and bowels for being a waste disposal system. Thank you to my gender organs, which allow me to be the person that I am. Thank you for the pelvic floor, for holding it all in. As we move down the body, giving, appreciating to the buttocks, feeling the touch on the seat. appreciation for the thighs and the knees. Allowing the legs to relax. The calves and the shins. Ankles and the feet. It's amazing the job the whole legs and feet do, carrying all the weight that we are, 60 to 80 kilos every day, shifting from one leg to the other, 60 or 80 kilos. What an amazing job our legs do. Thank you, legs. Thank you, feet. That kind appreciation, attention, broadening our attention to the whole body and giving attention to any part of the body that needs a bit more kindness. Being aware of the whole body, inviting it to relax with kindness, compassion, appreciation. Allowing our heart to fill with that kind, compassionate, finding that spark of kindness, allowing that kindness to flood through our whole body. Like a candle inside a jar, fills the whole jar with light. Kindness in our heart, radiating out through our whole body, filling our whole body with the light of kindness. Filling our mind with the light of kindness. May my heart and mind be filled with kindness. May I be kind to myself, thinking kind thoughts about me, rejoicing in my very many good qualities. Rejoicing in my good deeds. as I fill my mind and my heart with this kind, compassionate attention. Filling my whole body with the light of kindness. Filling my whole mind with the light of kindness. You can radiate that kindness out to all the beings in this room. So the candle in the jar, once it's filled the jar with light, it can shine out and illuminate the whole. May I be well and happy. May my happiness shine out to others so that they can feel it and feel happy too. May all the beings in this room, human beings, angels, and maybe even ghosts. May all the beings in this room be well and happy. May all the beings in this room feel glad about their own goodness. Feel glad about the goodness in others. Rejoicing. There is so much goodness in this room right now. May I be well and happy. May we all be well and happy. May we have the causes for future happiness. May I be free from mental and physical suffering. Free from danger. May I be able to take care of myself happily and forgive myself for my shortcomings and mistakes. May all the living beings in this room be well and happy. May we all be free from mental and physical suffering. May we be able to take care of ourselves happily and rejoice in our accomplishments. May we all be able to forgive ourselves and learn from our mistakes. And to accept our own imperfections. May we accept forgive the imperfections of others. Loving kindness that is shining out from each of us, filling up this whole room, bathing us all in that positive energy of kindness and compassion. Allowing the kindness from within us and around us to lift our hearts up so that we might rejoice in the goodness, our own goodness, and the goodness of all the people in this room. Thank you for being such good people. Right now, we are all doing such a good and wonderful thing, filling our hearts with kindness, filling ourselves with kindness, and sharing that kindness around the whole room. And as the kindness builds, naturally it begins to radiate out through the walls, out throughout the whole university. May all beings in this whole university be well and happy. May all the beings be free from mental and physical suffering. May they all rejoice in their good qualities, being able to take care of themselves happily. May all the beings in this university forgive themselves for their mistakes and accept their own imperfections and the imperfections of others. And so for the next 5 minutes, just continue yourself just quietly. If your body needs more kindness, just give more kindness to your body. If your heart needs more kindness, give your heart some more kindness. If you feel filled up to bursting, you can continue to radiate that kindness out. Distracted, just keep reciting the words, may I be happy, may I be happy. for just 1 minute? Just review what happened in the last half hour. How was my mind when I entered here? And how is it now? Compare the before and after. Is it more peaceful or less peaceful? More agitated or less agitated? Happier, sadder? What just happened?